vibrant in worship, and so we have so appreciated watching him grow in just humble but enthusiastic worship. And he serves. Micah is someone that I can phone and say, do you want to do an art piece for us? Are you able to join the sound table? Are you able to lead this? And Micah really often says a yes and comes in and does this well. And so it was Steve who, as he listened to Micah around baptism, said, hey, I'd really like Micah to come and to lead us as a congregation through a sermon. So we are delighted and thankful and very thankful for you. And so let's just pray over Micah as he leads us in this today. God, we thank you for your child, Micah. God, we thank you that you delight in him. God, we thank you that you have journeyed alongside Micah to this point in his life. God, I thank you that you have been light in shadowy places for Micah, and that you have allowed Micah to be light, your light, for others who are in shadowy places. God, I thank you for the creativity that you've given Micah, and I thank you for the way that you've drawn him to your word, and that he lives from a place of studying that and wanting to become those things that are called out to us in Scripture. And thank you, God, for the wisdom that you've given Micah. And we particularly bless Micah today, God. Thank you for the time he has taken in the midst of all that he is involved in, that he has taken time to bless us this morning with this sermon. Bless him with courage and with clarity and with deep hopefulness. And may we be listeners of your spirit through Micah. Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, hello. Needless to say, my name's Micah. And this is actually my second time preaching at the gathering, which is one more than my dad now, so I'm going to just jot that one down. and the message that I'm bringing today is titled Explicitly Christian. So the phrasing may make us want to jump to immediate place of discomfort or immediate concern that Micah's going to say something explicit. So I want to clear something up. When we hear the title or the phrase, explicit content, this is a warning that may come to mind. And this is the predominant use of the word or phrase and is used quite commonly. This isn't incorrect and is a label that you'll see on a music album cover and you'll know immediately what you're going to expect from the music. It's a label that uses the phrase that the lyrics are explicit, the content is explicit. And explicit music is unfiltered, and we'll talk directly about content that is difficult and often uncomfortable. When the music world says explicit, they mean direct and unfiltered. So when I say explicit, this is what I mean. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And as you may see, that's also the verse that is titled On My Sweater Today. And I think it's important that I talk about it. This is the explicit that I want to talk about. What it means to be unashamed of the gospel and talk directly about faith without hiding it. I want to talk about what it means to be a Christian in a way that people know immediately what you can expect to see in them, what unfiltered Christ following looks like. And I think there's an interesting comparison. So I'm not sure if anyone has been following the music trends in the past couple decades, but rock music has been the top most popular music genre dating back to about the 50s. Until last year, hip-hop and rap as a genre beat out rock, making 2018 the year rap beat rock. And I think this is just wild for a lot of reasons, because rap and hip-hop has been a kind of genre to coin the label explicit content. And so, similarly to when rock rose, Christian rock came about, with a number of very interesting artists, including Skillet, Switchfoot, Thousand Foot Crutch, Newsboys, DC Talk, and the ever-favorite band Evanescence that my dad also grew up with. That one's for you, Dad, that lovely lady just singing out in the corner. and so similarly, once that genre rose, there's another subgenre that rose called Christian rap, which a lot of people have thought is kind of bizarre. So in the next year, you can see a whole bunch of rap artists, because a lot of people in the rap community don't associate with the Christian side, and the Christian side doesn't always associate with the explicit rap side. But I think it's interesting that there's been a mix, and I think it's interesting that as that genre has grown, our Christian faith has come to it. So, as it's made its way up as a subgenre, the artists like Lecrae, NF, Andy Mineo, KB, No Big Dill, What Up RG, Trip Lee, and countless others have come to combat it. So, that's a long way to say that as a culture, rap is making an impact, and as a faith community, there are people who are showing explicit Christian music that talks about the explicit themes that you see in other subcultures, but from a faith perspective. And in that, I think it's important to recognize the difference between implicit and explicit. So, explicit is straight out and straightforward. Explicit is unashamed and is exactly what a person is trying to say. Implicit, on the other hand, is hidden. It's what's implied. Like, I know Micah is wearing a sweater that he intentionally chose to have the verse on it, but I'm going to imply that has something to do with the sermon. Another phrase that I like is that I think actually really helps show what explicit versus implicit is: yelling on the street corner versus cleverly masking your words. And I think it's important to look at it because my message is not that implicit is bad, because it's not, but instead to challenge the church to find the balance between the two. And as a faith community, I think it's important that people can see us and immediately know who we follow. For me, this is something that has actually been difficult for a long time. I didn't immediately want to be associated with being a Christian because I was made aware by a couple people I knew that there's a lot of Christians that haven't represented Christ very well. So when someone would ask me what I believed in, I would quickly jump to defend my values instead of being proud and unashamed of what God has done with my life. And it's honestly not something I've completely figured out, but it's something that I've been able to be blessed to be on the journey for, and I think that God's done a lot in that. But I think through that, I've also learned that being too implicit about how I view things can be a problem. And my personal experience with this comes from not knowing exactly what my values I wore on my sleeve were. I realized that I was more worried about what others thought about my view than I was about my view. To reiterate that idea, essentially, I would agree with other people's views and twist them into mine instead of expressing what I actually believed in. I learned that I started expressing my views in a way that never said I was a Christian and didn't necessarily bring God into the conversation. And that was a big eye-opener for me, to realize that I expressed my faith too implicitly. Now, there's also a counterpoint to this. You see, because there's a clear and real worry about others. We get caught in a space where we don't want to shove something down someone's throat or force them to see the way that we do. And that's a good thing. Because it's important to think about what other people think and really appreciate the people around us. And forcing an idea or view on someone won't help anyone. But even when we are cautious and don't come into a space with a plan to force our views or talk about others, that they will still respond to the topic in a way that we see Jesus in the faith. We still enter that conversation in a way that we don't know how they're going to interpret it. We can still talk to someone, be completely confident about how we view our faith and how we think about our faith, but we don't know if that's going to contradict something that they believe in. And part of that also is we don't know necessarily if they're going to ask questions that we don't know how to answer. So there's also that fear that we might misrepresent Christianity ourselves. And even if we're completely confident, I believe that we need to understand what value we're talking about, and we may not always. And these are all extremely valid and valuable things to be worried about. And in that, we need to remember that we'll never have it all together. And when we talk about faith, we will never be at a point when we can stop asking questions ourselves, or even assume we know more than the person we're talking to. And I know firsthand that when someone is talking to you about something, and they talk to you like they are above you, or that they know more than you do, you will immediately lose interest in what they're talking about, and especially when it has to do with faith and belief, because no one can be at one point when we could even begin to fathom what God has in store. So, how do we show Christ and be explicitly Christian in a way that invites people to join the conversation? And more importantly, doesn't belittle someone or turn them away? Because in the Bible, there's a lot of places where God tells people not to do specific things, like murder, steal, or adulter. And those are good things not to do. And it's good that we have those grounding big no-nos. But when we talk about faith and the specific people in the Bible, there are people like Jonah who went up to Nineveh and had to tell them off pretty straight out and straightforward that their ways were wrong and that things were not going well for them and that they need to turn their lives around. And that doesn't work in everyday situations necessarily. That was right for that situation, but if I were to run up to a person I disagreed with about beliefs, that they were wrong, that they'd die a fiery death or something, odds are I wouldn't be bringing them any closer to Christ at all. In fact, I would probably lose a friend or lose their trust and respect, and on top of that, probably give them a bad taste in their mouth about what Christianity looks like. And so, with thinking about the situation, I want to change the idea, because there will never be a case where the words to say or the thing to do is right for every situation. And God looks through our actions. So I want to ask, what is our intention? Because when we show Christ, our actions will follow our intention. And sometimes, even with the right intention, it can be misrepresented because as people, we're imperfect and communication is hard. But if our intention is to prove someone wrong, or out of hate, or simply negative intention, we miss the chance to reinforce the positive. And if our intention is negative, our actions will reflect that. And through my personal faith journey, there's been a verse that has stuck out in such a way that I've realized it works with every situation. It's 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done in love. And I don't have the whole verse written on the screen intentionally, because I want you to hold on to this verse and find it on your own time or at the Bible at your seats, because it's a very easy verse to understand and remember. This is the guiding principle. And here's why. Because love is our intention. And if everything that we do is done in love, then whatever you do then has a new reason. So when you are talking to someone about something you disagree on, your paradigm is no longer negative or to prove them wrong, but instead, you will end up finding grace and compassion, because you're making the conversation on the ground basis of love. And as people, we mess up. That's inevitable. We will always mess up. But if we change how we respond and make our intention love, we essentially give a ground basis of forgiveness and grace. Because if we mess up and our intention is hate, might take a while for us to even want forgiveness. So now that we've gone through some of the grounding principles, I want to cover the question, what does explicitly Christian then look like in a healthy way? And I would venture to say that between Romans 1:16 and 1 Corinthians 16:14, there's an area of success. I would say that being unashamed of the gospel and doing everything in love is the roots, but there's still specifics. The idea of explicit Christianity is wearing your faith on your sleeve. And for me, it's important to have it on my physical sleeve because that's been really helpful for me. And it's important to pray and search for what works for you, but the idea carries into how you interact at home, at work, or school, and it needs to be a part of what you are, because wherever you go, your character is reflected on the understanding that you have of your actions. So those actions are reflected on the understanding love of Christ that will show on your metaphorical sleeve. The other side of that is something I've looked a lot into myself. I've found that where there's an area in my life that I don't invite Christ into, fear finds a way in. I've noticed that when I welcome Jesus into an area in my life, fear has no space to develop. This is also reflected in our character. So when we think about how we can show Christ explicitly, remember that when Christ is there, the fear is dispelled. It's nerve-wracking sometimes to start that conversation, and sometimes terrifying to talk about God in public. But that's because the fear doesn't want to be dispelled. But it is. When we talk about Christ and we talk with God, we find peace. And there's no room for anything else. And no matter how powerful we hint at Jesus, if we don't move into a place where we can get rid of shame and shout on the street corner, we might just miss the point. So, as a 17-year-old kid, I want to challenge the church to move from the implicit to the explicit. Thank you.
Let's pray together. God, I am so thankful that we can hear this morning from Micah. God, I thank you that he teaches us this morning. God, I thank you that Micah reminds us that when we come from a posture of love, that your light and your grace fills spaces. God, thank you that Micah loves the church. And this morning, may we as the church listen and respond and go as people of love who are unashamed. We say amen together. Let's stand together for worship.